It's Colossians 1:15-20. So Colossians says this about Jesus. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him, and how beautiful is this? For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Amen. So, in thinking about what to preach about today, this thing about technology is that you always lose your place, so I do. And thinking about what to preach about today, I've had this carol, this Christmas carol, O Holy Night, in my mind a lot, and it's been mulling over with me. You know, the one that we sang the chorus of, and it was so pertinent that Judith chose to sing the chorus only, because it's been the chorus that has struck a chord with me. How's it go? Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Isn't it beautiful? Not my singing. Not my singing. Judith and the Hawthorne Band singing. What is beautiful about that is the response to this Christmas. This response to this Christmas. And I think in some ways, for many people around the world, I think we've lost the awe and wonder of that, oh, holy night of Christmas. We've lost it somehow. And I think maybe in the familiarity of the story, for many of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, maybe we've become so familiar with the story that it's lost its awe and wonder. Maybe with the trimmings and the trappings and the busyness of Christmas, we've lost the awe and wonder of Christmas. Or maybe it's just this in postmodern time, where we tend to want to rationalize everything. Why do we do that? We rationalize it maybe it makes it easier to understand. But we tend to want to dumb things down in this modern time to make it more simple and more easy to understand. Whatever the reason is, I think that Christmas is far more special than what we sometimes realize. It's a bit like this, and here's an illustration for you. There's a prize for anyone who can tell me what this picture is called. Not the actual picture itself, but the poster. What is that poster called? The poster like this. Have you seen a poster like this before? It's like an optical illusion. It's not really an illusion as such, but it has optics to it. Okay. What? Here we got a winner. I was like banking on keeping the prize. Nice one, Simon. Stereogram. It's called a stereogram. I actually didn't know that until I actually printed this thing. But a stereogram is quite a clever poster. It's a picture, a whole lot of colors mixed together. It's a beautiful colors, a hue on the surface. It's just a hue there of colors. But if you look more closely, there actually is more detail to the picture. And even if you look even more closely, if you focus in the right way, I don't know if you've seen this, it was quite a craze in about the 90s, I think when I was in high school, giving my age away here, where you look at it for long enough, and eventually this 3D picture pops out at you. And so if I look at this picture, it's got obviously these beautiful gold and brown colors mixed together. But if I look a little bit more closely, I can see animals and people's faces and angels' wings. But if I actually spend time and I focus intently on the picture, a picture will pop out, a picture does pop out. I've tried it, I've tested it, I promise you. I'm not allowed to tell you what it is. I think you've got to come in for another prize and come and see if you can see what's in this picture behind you. And the Christmas story is a bit like that. At face value, with how we look at Christmas sometimes and how we gloss over Christmas, sometimes we just get a surface picture of the actual story, of who the story is actually about. It's actually not just about what Christmas is about, it's actually more about who Christmas is about. And sometimes I think we lose the wonder and awe of this person, Jesus. Who was this baby boy? We've had two scriptures that were read out to us. The one was about the wise men and the other was about the shepherds. And I think the wise men and the shepherds were great examples of people who really got this Christmas thing. They really understood what Christmas was all about. They really understood who Christmas was all about. And we see it so beautifully with the story of the shepherds and they're out in the fields with their flocks. And all of a sudden, a host of angels, well, one angel in particular initially, giving them a message. And then, a whole host of angels. Can you imagine what that must have been like? They must have been in awe and wonder of God. They must have been thrilled by that. But isn't this amazing? They didn't just take what the angels said at face value and said, praise God, there's a Savior born. They didn't stop there and say, we're carrying on being shepherds. They said, no, we're actually leaving our sheep. We're leaving the sheep and we're going. We're going to see this baby boy. We want to be with this baby boy. We want to worship this baby boy. We want to see what this is all about. We want to look deeper into the story. But deeper into the picture. And so they leave their flocks behind. And this is not an easy thing for shepherds to do. Because in those days, the shepherds the sheep were like children, really, to the shepherds. They were so important to them. They spent all their days with them, sleeping out in the pastures with them, spending all their time. So to leave your sheep behind was a big deal. But they were prepared to leave it all behind. They were prepared to leave it all behind to go to see this Messiah that was born. And here's the most amazing thing of all. When they get to see Jesus, they're changed. They're changed. Do you know what it says? And I think it's verse 11. Do you know what it says? That the shepherds, when they see Mary and Joseph and the baby, the first thing they do is they tell everyone they can about what they've heard, about what they've seen, and about this baby Messiah. They see this baby and they are changed. And then they go away glorifying and praising God. Isn't that incredible? I've got this picture of these shepherds running down the streets, glorifying and praising God. People, they saw a baby in a manger. How is it that after seeing a baby in a manger, you can be so radically impacted as them? I tell you why, because they had a revelation. They had a deeper look into the Christmas story, who this Jesus was, and they got it. And they got it. And what about the wise men? The wise men came from far, from the east, not East London, like much further than East London. They packed up their camels, they packed up their things, and they packed up some treasure to come and give to this king. And they didn't have any angels telling them about this. They didn't have any fireworks. All they had was their learning and their faith and the star which they saw. And they went to see this baby king. And just like the shepherds, they gave up everything that they were doing. They didn't just accept it and say, I'm happy with the surface. I'm happy with what's on the outside. I'm happy to accept that there's this Savior that's been born somewhere in the east. And he'll be the Savior of the world. Hooray. They didn't do that. They packed up their things and they went to go and see this baby to worship him. And this is what strikes me the most of all. Is what does the scripture say about this encounter with this little baby in a manger? What did the wise men do as soon as they saw this baby? Does anyone know what it says? Can you remember what it said? It said they bowed down and worshipped a baby in a stable. Some versions say they fell on their knees. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, the night that Christ was born. What a response. What a response. We can learn a lot from the shepherds and the wise men about not what Christmas is about, but who Christmas is about. The scripture that I read to you from Colossians is also a very, very powerful scripture. That scripture talks about Jesus in another way. And I think it's a bit of the revelation that the wise men and the shepherds had of Jesus that day was this description of Jesus. That he is preeminent ahead of all things. Preeminent. That means he is before all things. It says there that he created all things. And in him all things were made. That is this Jesus. That is this baby Jesus lying in the manger. And it says that in him all things are held together. And church, I want to tell you something today. If your life is not being held together, if you feel like you're spinning out and you're too busy, or you've hit hardships, or you've hit hard times, or sad times, or if you're battling, I need to tell you some good news. That Jesus holds it all together. He's the one who will keep it all together for you when things are really going tough. That is what this Christmas is about. That is who this Christmas is about. Not just that, but he reconciles everyone through his blood on the cross to the Father. Amen. And so we need to know this Christmas that this is who this Jesus is. This is the revelation who the shepherds and the wise men had that day. I'm really starting to close now. But I want to read you one other very, very powerful, powerful scripture. You see, I think in the glossing over of Christmas sometimes, I think we often will see Jesus as a baby in that manger, in his humanness, and that's good and that's right. But as we're seeing, as we peel out the layers of the stereogram, of the poster, that there's so much more to Jesus than the fact that he was just a man. He wasn't just a man who became a good teacher so that we could live well. And for maybe some of you, that's kind of what you believe. But let me tell you, you're only seeing the colors on this page. For some of you, you're seeing more detail. And if I showed you this close up, you'd see that detail, like the animals and the people that are in here. And maybe for you, this baby is the Son of God. And he came to live a sinless life and die and be your Savior. And that is good and right. Amen. But actually, the story is much bigger than that. And Jesus is much greater than that. Let me show you in this scripture who Jesus really is. Won't you turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to read verse 1 to 14. And this is John writing about Jesus. And he says this about Jesus now. A lot of what we focus on in Christmas about who Jesus was when he was born, this is Jesus now. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written, and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more," and look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people to God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels. When did we hear that before? The voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads, thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped him. Isn't that a powerful description of who this baby Jesus really, really is? And this Christmas, my prayer for you and my prayer for all of us is that we would have a fresh revelation of exactly why we celebrate Jesus. We don't celebrate just a baby in a manger. We don't celebrate a good man like Gandhi. He wasn't just a good man. We don't just celebrate God's Son who came and who lived a sinless life and died. We celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. That is who our Savior is. And our response should be just his. Our response to him should be just as the shepherds and the wise men and the angels and the elders in the story who actually fall on their knees and give him praise for who he is. Won't you join me in doing that? Won't you praise him this Christmas for what he's done for us?